The second epistle of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a greeting to Timothy. He was very... Timothy he always refers to as his dearly beloved son. He was like his own son in the faith. Again, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Not by his own will, but by the will of God who struck him down. In the person of Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus. Putting the lie to all who would teach that man's will is free. God will interfere with man's will. Pharaoh might have set the Israelites free, but God hardened his hearts. Why? He says why. So that he could show his power in him. God wanted to send a lot of plagues. Pharaoh might have responded after two or three or four plagues, but God hardened his heart so that he would not let them go. He even told Moses ahead of time, I'm going to tell you to go tell him to let my people go, and he's not going to let them go because I'm going to harden his heart. The grace of God comes to us to change our hearts, to soften our hearts, to make our hearts malleable, to purify, to make us holy. His mercy forgives our sins. The peace of God, which passes understanding, blesses our lives. Because in those fruits we partake of from being followers of him, there's great peace and contentment. As he said in the last book of Timothy, that godliness with contentment is great gain. By the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. There's a promise in Jesus Christ of life. Life everlasting. We partake of the promise through faith in the promise. But there are many faith promises. I mean, there are many promises in Christ to which we ought to have faith. You know, it says, add to your faith virtue. Well, that's a promise in a way that God is going to add virtue to me. I have faith in that promise. The promise is that we might partake of the divine nature. We could become made like unto Christ. He would be formed in us. And be born. And we would be born again as a new man in his image. After the image of he who created us. To be like his son. Verse 3. And that is eternal life. Grace reigns through righteousness to eternal life. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also... And all, you know, as Paul, he said about what he had done, everything he did, even before he served Christ, he did ignorantly. And he did it with a great zeal, and his conscience was pure in it, actually. But as he says, when God came and revealed it to him, now he was a blasphemer. A persecutor of God and of the church. And up to that point, his conscience was pure. Now his conscience was bruised. And God revealed that truth to him. I desire to see thee, being mindful. You know, Timothy was always dear to Paul. And this is written during his imprisonment. and considered to be within a short time of his martyrdom. I guess in chapter 4, 6, he says, I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I mean, this is considered to be one of the last letters of Paul. This is sort of his send-off. And obviously, you know, we have a great hope. We do not sorrow as others who have no hope, but we do sorrow. So, you know, we miss people when they're gone. We have to live life without them. And people who are dear to us when they pass away. I sorrow because I lost them. I know I will see them again. Well, those who have obtained like precious faith, I know I'll see again. But he wished he could see him, because that would fill him with joy, just the sight of Timothy. Because he would remember the faith, his faith. But the faith, you know, and it first came in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And he says, I am persuaded, that's Pitho, the Simmerous faith, I have faith that it is also in you. Because ultimately, faith is this idea of persuasion, whether by evidence or even irrationally. And we can have faith irrationally. It doesn't have to be a rational process. But the reason I say that is because I used to think of it in a very rational thing. It's like, I have faith because there are certain facts, and when those facts are in line by the intellectual process and by knowledge, and by science, falsely so called, one can come to the conclusion that this is true. That is faith. But faith can be totally irrational. Like Peter getting up and walking on the water. I guess he saw Jesus walking on the water. Why, you know. Still not rational. And I don't care what anyone says, you know, it doesn't always have to be. Sometimes you can just have faith from feeling. It's because you feel a certain way about someone. So it's more than just cold, antiseptic, scientific facts and persuasion. Pardon me, I'm getting a little worked up here with the sniffles, but that's all right. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in the... Oh, I've read that already. Verse 6.